These are the memories of Rabbi Aaron Zal from Rabbi Shmuel Miller.
So you want to ask me questions?
Just say when you came, what year came, and where you came from, and what was what brought you here, and then how you started when you met Rabbi Aaron the first time, and
So I came to yeshiva, the first from yeshiva Chaim Berlin. I remember I put now Toshin to Zion. I heard the yeshiva speak on many occasions at the Asifis. It was known as a Gvaldik Goyin, and I had a case of Cheshek to have the excuse to learn by him. You know, he's Gadlus Bateva. Interesting that while I was in yeshiva, I once mentioned to one of the Yingalites that I came here because I wanted to be closer to yeshivas. So he told me most of them came here because of the Shadda Ruach in yeshiva. But most of them didn't have a personal intimacy with the yeshiva. But I personally looked to have a personal shaychus. First time I came to the yeshiva, I wanted to sit at his table. I did sit along a number of years at a table with him, Shabbos, eat with the Bochim. All three meals he ate with the Bochim. And I used to go in the beginning, I used to talk a lot of money with him. But my shaykhus was, my Watson Lemmets was to get an onto shaykhus to Adam Godel like his stature. And Baruch Hashem, I came down to Borough Park, I called him up. Actually, my Zayda call, I was close with him from Saboki, yet he called him up. Made the appointment for me. My Seder was Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Lestin, Neishtota Rob. He was Mashkiach and Shiva, the YU, and he was not from the Shiva yet, from Minsk yet. And he made the appointment for me, and I went down to his house. It was amazing to see the house over there. And Shiva sat at a table, and on the right hand side of the Shiva was, I think, Elberg from the Gudas Rabbonim. And left hand side was Marcus Levine, the executive director of the yeshiva. And the yeshiva was sitting with a gemara, and he had a telephone in his hand. He was talking on the phone. There was only three conversations with the, and at the same time he had a gemara. He had a minute, he never sat without a gemara. Even though all he was busy, big part of his time was busy with Asa Skonis, because he told himself, I guess, a chayes for the tzibo, as you do, achin chatzmoy, agus chabonim, and everything, double cotton, double gogo, and kali Yisrael, when it was under his pikuach, he was the person who took complete charge. And since he was a nifter, there was not another person in America who had such a gantel shlita of the whole inyone tzibo. So it's hard to envision this, but every inyone is a poti, any yeshiva, any klalzach, went through his hands, and he was very aggressive, and he put himself in all situations, and nothing passed without his approval. So he found the Hanuman of the Alamol. He had a Gemara in front of him. He never sat without a Gemara. And when I came in, it was interesting that he was able to hold so many conversations at one time. He once said over from a Chaim Eizer. Maybe had a knack to be able to talk to a person at the same time, write a tshuva. And he could do two things at one time. So as soon as I came in, he stood up with a chiyus and took me to another room, and he forgot everything else, and his face changed with a simcha. He sat with a nimis, he wasn't sat like a, never sat with a very serious face, always had with a pleasant countenance. It was always a nimistic person. But when it came to learning, he had a nayachias, so he came and took me in the room on the side, in the living room. When I mentioned living room, it's interesting to see his house. There was no furniture at all, no chia matched the other chia, old bookcase, and there was no actual furniture there. That knowing that when Baal Batim wanted to put orders for him furniture, but he didn't want to accept it, he said, because he felt that, that not because he couldn't afford it or because he didn't have the money for it, which actually he didn't, but even someone wants to give him a matana, he didn't want to live in that type of mahalach in Anton. His own mahalach was Rukhni's. He said, lived very simply. So he took me, coming back, he took me to the other room, and he started talking to me, he asked me, you learned by Hutna. Interesting, they called Hutna. When I came to that, he said, you learned by Rabbi Doi. About that means of Yoshebeh. I was wondering why. Because he was Salvechik, there's a lot of Salvechik, so he couldn't say Salvechik. But he said, you learned by Hutna. So I said, yeah. So he said, So he asked me, what's my land documents? I said, I'm telling you, I should go to the Matzis Bukhara in Zorim. He had a shiur of Rambam. He also had a shiur there, so he started to tell me over his whole shiur. And he was like, I'll be Gechias. And then he told me to come to the Yeshiva. Very Baum Mensch. He was like, I'll be Sikis and Baumkite. He told him, I'm a very Mumkite. He had been Taylor. See some other questions, I have to remind myself, very pleasant. And then when I came to Yeshiva, he wasn't so much, he used to come to Yeshiva as Yadua Thursday afternoon for the evening, and then he davened in Yeshiva Ma'ariv. And Shachis, he died in the yeshiva, and then he used to learn in the room off the base medrash. It was like a sun porch, he used to sit and learn there. And most boys didn't have too much, like I said before, they didn't afraid to talk to him and learning. Either they were afraid that he was very sharp in talking and learning. And realized he was a very pleasant person. In talking and learning, he could be very sharp, he could say, like, tumuls, shaytikin olive base. I mean, yeah, the shot that in that's him is in, when you talk to him on one on one, he didn't talk that way. But some of the people had the impression, because when people hacked the iron in the Shia and tried to the things on the Shia, so he could say very sharp vituyim, very sharp expressions. So therefore, I was a little afraid of him, maybe intimidated by him. When there was about the Yechidim, but even the Yechidim, I remember Yankiv Shiv asked me many times to go ask him the Kasha and the Shia, because he was afraid to ask him, because the Shiva will blow up on him. I remember one time we were sitting there in Shal Shudis, and Yankiv Shiv asked him the Kasha and the Shia from Sholish, it was Shia and Bamitzia, there was a lot of fireworks over the table, was shaking so he, whenever he came to talk and learning, he spoke with Chester Bren, because the Rebbe says that the Abbas Emes was so stark, and Abbas HaTeira, they couldn't be said or anything. And that's Emes, there is a lot of truth in that. I remember once I came to the Yeshiva and I teach, I came up later, Platzinski, he was the Adim in the Valley of Levine, he was the Enik of Al Sabotka. And he had a psa, just a talk of learning. And they were saying Chiddush in Simonim, and that says Zayin had a Diyik. And Shiva said, made a way, he said, it's not a Diyik. So he said, it's yeah, a Diyik. So Shiva says, not a Diyik. So I went on like 5 minutes, they're arguing back and forth. So I thought to myself, come, why didn't he, I didn't care what he says, I come to guess, I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. So his Abbas Emes was so much that he couldn't. Mm-hmm. Okay, they were fighting Mamish with Mamish with a Helms guy. That was Abbas HaTeira. You see, over this is what happened before my times. There was once there was a young man there, Zucker of Asholem. He was a Bocher then. The old Zucker from the hotel. Zucker Hotel used to be in the mountains, and he was. After Shia came to talk to Esakashia, so Shiva got so excited that he shook him up and he tore his shirt. Yes, the Shiva offered to pay him $5 for this. I wonder in Maxim over here that we're talking about something that happened 40 years ago, and I knew the Shiva practically the last 5 years of his life. But everything that we're talking about made it really a gvalik reishim on me. that I lived with it my whole life. I lived with these memories. His relation was Valdik, and I myself, an old Talmud, even though in yeshiva there was, I'd say, a great percentage, half maybe, didn't understand the shurim, and they really didn't have much to do with him. But his influence on them was still in very great, because they saw him as Adam Godel, God grace a mensch, and everyone felt, looked up to him with great respect, Valdik the Acheret. And they saw Aish Emes, on a mensch with a Valdik Bren and Teire, Hasmoder, and a person who was Mosin Nefesh for Beis Hashem, a Kali Israel. I remember when he was Nifta, there was a, the whole Olam was crying. So when a neighbor walked by and said, "Why is everyone crying?" She didn't understand what happened there, that everyone is crying. That people should be so kosher, so a Rebbe. The Balik is kashkes, Merdik is kashkes to him. So Mela, these things I'm talking about, made a Reishim, a lot of Reishim. And Mela, there's many things, the things I'm saying over, there's things I remember, there's many things that I have to fear myself, really. I mean, there was a Reisa mentioned in Allah Zinan. He was very Nizah and Kedusha. He never looked at a woman directly. Whenever you see someone came to him, many times women came to talk to him. So you see his face was averted, completely averted. I once walked down the street with him, after followed him, and after I took a nap, after the Suda, he came out a few minutes before, a few steps in front of me, and he was walking down from the yeshiva was then, on 676th Street was the dormitory in the dining room, and he was coming from his room, going to the Beis Medrash on Forest Avenue and 7th Street. So when he came to, by 7th Street from the driveway of those, that now is the driveway of the yeshiva, so there was two girls walking down from Georgian Court College. And they were dressed not, I wouldn't say it's the Heimlich standards, or a Gansniestik. But he thought what he did is he picked up his kapote, for Shabbos, he picked up his kapote, covered his face, and he walked down the street with his kapote raised that he shouldn't be able to see them in front of him. So that was his Nizar and his Egen Kusha. Coming back to my impression, start again. So I came to yeshiva then. I was it's interesting. I came to yeshiva Chaim Berlin. The yeshiva was my father's, Tzadik Vavah, was the mashkiach there. He sat every time the Bismedish a whole day. And the yeshiva, whenever he was missing, it happened a few times a year, he couldn't come. So the Bismedish emptied out completely. There's 200 bachim in the Bismedish then, and maybe there was left with a few bachim in Gansi. Al-Karakaka Putin said a joke. Says in Chazal, Ein lechodem she'en leishor. What's the shor of yeshiva bachar? He said, when mashkir gei davek. That's the shor of yeshiva bachar. So I walked into the Bismedish, and I saw a psayid with a brown beard talking to someone in the hall. And I didn't see anyone. I walked in the Beis HaMedrash, I was looking for the Mashkiach. I thought maybe he stands by the door or by the Aron Kodesh. I walked there, I walked into it, so maybe I don't see. So I walked Mamish until the next Aron Kodesh. I look around, I don't see anyone. So then I thought, this is another different type of yeshiva. We don't need a Mashkiach. There's no Mashkiach at all. Probably that person I saw in the hall, who was schmoozing in the hall, was the Mashkiach. So I went over and gave him shalom again. And that was Taka Abnosu. But the yeshiva was a yeshiva that ran on its own. No one understood this. When the Rabbah was nifta, so the Rebbe was Yisrami and Zeyer, that no one should leave the yeshiva for 3 years. Because they felt the yeshiva out of a bar and the yeshiva was going to fall apart right away. So we have to have everyone should stay there and not leave for 3 years. Rabbi Kamenetsky said in the next first yotzeit, he said, "Ich bin moide misvade, I didn't believe the yeshiva would last another year." But they didn't understand what the revolution of the yeshiva made in the yeshiva. The yeshiva was not, the yeshiva was standing there and because of him the bachim were learning. He instilled them as a ruach that they wanted to learn. Actually he wasn't the yeshiva that much in time. It's only on the weekends he came, from Thursday night till Monday morning. Monday afternoon, before Mincha, he usually left. He said, "Shia, Monday morning at 11:30 and then left. So in the whole year of the week, he used to appear for that year. In New York, he used to learn the sugyas for that year, but not too sure. But he instilled as a ruach, as a geist in the bochim, that this year went on his own amela. And this continues up to this day. This is the payas of his geist that he instilled in the bochim. Now, what was this geist? His geist was Avos HaTorah. He saw in him a Torah was his whole life. He saw the Shiva's HaTorah, just hearing a shiur from him. It was something to see a shiur of him. You remember the shiur, when he say shiur Matzei Shabbos, it was, well, he used to appear for the shiur that, but he put him on the Kremis on Friday. And the Eilim used to learn the whole Shabbos to appear for the shiur. And work hard and then prepare to understand the shiur. And then prepare himself the Gemara on the Kremis. And he came with Tzei Shabbos. It was like electricity in the ear, you could feel it. It was a tremendous excitement. And when he said it, it was such a chiyus, such a ren. He said, I saw, you see his face was shone, light up. He saw what Torah meant. And he saw the Mesikas HaTorah in the Shia itself, but he saw what the Torah meant. And he saw the Gias HaTorah also. Not only in the shiur itself, even beforehand, you should see him pacing the room. It was a brilliant person, a baldiga goyin with a baldiga kishin, like he had a tfisa with mamish, had something to see with. But he still hard in learning. See his yigias hatayva, and that instilled in the ilam the avos hatayva and the shivas hatayva. In shmuzin, he spoke different from New York. People know him in New York, know him as a scream. And it gets very emotional, and the Sifis, there was a Sifis against Gius Bonois, and that's Yisrael, there was a Sifis against the conservatives, he came out with the Issa, to belong to the board of rabbis, and many other Sifis, when he spoke at the Yisrael conventions, he spoke with a Malika Pren, but in Shiva he spoke very quietly, the same thing he said as a discussion, and very without any emotion. And this was a different type of thing because he spoke to the mind, and that was his shmuz in yeshiva. He didn't say shmuz in that often. The mashgiach said every week, but not in the Beis Medrash, in a side room on the side of the Beis Medrash. And it was pretty decent attendance. Not everyone went. And the yeshiva used to go into the Beis Medrash then and learn musa. And Thursday night it was. And he said shmuz on special occasions like a tainis. The Elway said a lot of Shemuzin, or the Yotzeif and Yishreya, Chazay Nish, Yishkirov, Hespin, he said. So this Yashpo was more indirect. Then there was Yechidim in the Yeshiva who were very close with him. In my times, there was most of Chaim Epstein was probably the closest in Ashkofer, and he discussed many things with him. Bisa Shafelishtag was, he used to discuss to discuss issues, and he was like his yeitz in the yeshiva of Yisrael Feigenstock. And he's a glass in the mensch, a duchgetach the mensch, and he held him as a chocham, and he discussed things with him. And the other ones were more in learning, like a Meir Hershkowitz, Volzain Gesundin of Agiv Shif, Moshe Hirsch. These were the maybe some few others. I'm not anyone that's making a listing now. And these were the people who had a big hashpah on him, and they were mashpia in the Olam a lot. Bochim themselves were mashpia. Older Bochim were mashpia in the Olam. The Shiva was very close knit then, and it was like a real yeshiva, which means that everyone was mekabel the anhoga, the minhogim of the yeshiva. Before they got married, they were here 5-6 years, and they were really talmidim. And they felt themselves as talmidim of the yeshiva, talmid of the yeshiva. No one, there wouldn't be such a thing, idea of making a minyan after the shkia, mincha after the shkia, or Shabbos like you have here now in town, or mitzvah Shabbos. They should not make a different zman in the yeshiva. Everyone accepted the minhagim of the Bish Yeshiva, the Psak of the Yeshiva, even the Gemara. They used to talk over how the Yeshiva learned the Gemara this way, or he learned that way, how it's far. He said, this Suya, those that were known through the Shurim or for talking with him, spread around the Yeshiva. And Ikashe and the Yeshiva went through the whole Olam, the Olam discussed every Kashin, and it was passed around, and the Keres were passed around. and it was learned. It was learned the Chabur, and this was a stark ruach in yeshiva. Achdis in yeshiva said that. That doesn't mean to say that everyone was one Chabur. Many different, but there was a central nucleus of Eilam and the people on the side. The Mamushpa from that central nucleus that spread out to the rest of the Eilam. Now in his there's many lemes that say about Rav Shiva. It will take days to talk about what is Zachen Kama Zachen, but one thing I can say is that he left a great hashpa on all types of talmidim. There were boys in yeshiva at that time who weren't such masmidim, and some of them missed him a lot. But anyone who was there in that kufa, you see, his children, was a different type of person. His shifas was teira. He knew that what's important in life. You saw the what's wichtig in Levin. He left that roishim. Anyone who went through the yeshiva, was any length of time, was kinder that hashkofa. Teira is the ikra. And you didn't have to say it so much. Seldom he spoke in yeshiva. He once made an asipah on the cover of his kerov in Manhattan Center. Someone was the pastor of his kerov, so they made asipah, and he spoke against college, boys go to college. But in Lakewood itself, he didn't speak about it. He spoke about Torah, about the Torah, Torah Ikra. But he didn't speak about the college. He didn't have to. I mean, the Eilam saw Torah, what Torah is. In the middle, they like the Chofetz Chaim said, and that someone and that the Chofetz once said that the pinches in this darkness you can't chase away with sticks. You have to sit on a light candle and then it gets light. So that's what he did. He sit on a candle and the Eilam saw the light. And that's how he made this revolution in America, the Balika revolution. And the emphasis is that there was many facets to the person. There was a person as a Rosh Yeshiva, as a fear in the manig of the yeshiva, and there was a person as his close, warm, concerned for Talmidim. And not everyone knows about that. In Kletsk, it's more, I think it's more boiled in Kletsk, because they say they lived in the apartment even, they used to sleep all over the floors there. He was always concerned that the boys should have what they need. The only problem was food. The Shiva was then very poor, and there was a lot of shortage of food there. But still, I mean, whenever he heard the boys Bachan need something, he took care of that. And even though the Shiva was very bad off financially, I remember once they went around collecting a few dollars from each boy that they should lend the Shiva money to buy oil, because they had no money for oil in the winter. But still, he was devoted to the Talmidim, tried to find their shiduchim and help them, and find shtelis afterwards. But that's one facet. And then there was the other, was as a manig, as a paisik, some big paisik, and when anybody had a shayla, a chicken, they used to come and say that with them, he used to take out the shulchan aruch, basket, he was needed, and other zachen, he was chulis, the broad-based goyim. And this table was interesting to see how he's able to fend off kashas and all over shas. There was in the yeshiva of people who know how to learn well, and they learned different. There was even chaburas who learned different inyanim, zroyim, kochim, and moyed, different sechtes. And at the table, people asked him all over, and not just superficially. They asked him in the sugyas shel zachen, and he was able to. To be in the sugya, in every sugya, he had a meyad, a tfisa, and a memory, and he was able to answer everyone. He didn't say, never said, I don't know, let me think it over. Everything he answered on the spot. You can see the goodness there. And his Shabbos teach, he only spoke on learning when the Rebbe, say the Bambadim with Kashis, and he spoke on learning late in the end, a year or two before his Petira, I think I'll be so Dershowitz. Asked them they should speak on Chumash, so he asked them questions of Chumash, so he's answered. And after Rav Shneur made a shmooze later out of it. That was his anhogin in the yeshiva. And the Doisen, in the yeshiva itself, he didn't see that so much, except when even was in yeshiva, he was busy on the phone very much. He filled Klal Yisrael, Matzmoy, with your name from Moistis in America, and any Indian of Pirtzis Hadas, he was on top of that, he was working, he said that. I'm not going to say, but I'm thinking about it yet. And it's the Zandra Vegalachas, this whole thing.